Chapter 11. Michael crept inside and slipped off his shoes. Beside the coat rack was their census portal, a small rectangular wooden unit with brass plaques on the front and six card slots on the top. At the end was a snow globe-shaped counter displaying a number card with the total number of occupants in the house. His mother's card was nestled in the slot above her name plaque, and two along from that, his sister's. Michael's eyes lingered on the furthest slot, which was empty, as always. The ministry had replaced the original plaque with a shinier one, bearing the inscription Guest 3. Michael punched in, and the snow globe tally updated. He tiptoed towards the staircase. His grandfather's voice resonated from the kitchen. Halting, Michael peered around the doorframe and listened. His mother was there, too, speaking in hushed tones.
"The boy's adjusting, that's all. It's common after visiting the ministry," soothed Amal.
He was doing the washing up at a glacial pace. Michael's mother was beside him, chopping vegetables like a machine.
"Something's up," she said, shaking her head. "He's not been himself since his birthday. You saw how he was at the meal. All jumpy and distracted. I think he's freaking out. I've always said 18's too young, especially for a boy who grew up without... Well, you know."
She tipped the carrots into a pan of simmering water.
"Give the boy a chance. He needs a little time, that's all," said Amal.
He took a clean plate from the rack and absently submerged it in the dirty dishwater.
"He looks exhausted, constantly. It's not healthy. I've tried talking to him, but he's shutting me out. So I've made an appointment with the doctor," said Val, unscrewing a jar of tomatoes.
"Why?"
"What do you mean, why? My boy's been rattling around the house at all hours of the night. He's barely eating. He's picking fights with his sister. It's not right. You know the school called today? He didn't show up until lunchtime. But I saw him leave this morning. So where the hell did he go?"
"You think he's hiding something?"
"Maybe. Something's upsetting him, that's for sure."
"So, you want to medicate him?"
"I want to help him."
"Then talk to him."
"You've seen me trying. And he doesn't respond. It's time for a professional opinion. There must be something that can take the edge off until it all blows over."
"You mean until he accepts his choice?"
Val ignored the question. Lifting a pan of lentils off the hob, she carried it to the sink, nudging Amal aside.
"Can you grab a sieve?"
she asked. Amal ambled across to the stove and picked up the pan of simmering carrots. He gasped in pain as the metal scalded his bare hands. He dropped the pan with a clatter, drenching the floor in steaming vegetables and boiling water.
"What the hell?"
cried Val, rising onto tiptoes to avoid the flood.
"Oh God, Dad, are you okay?"
She steered her father towards the sink and held his hands under the cold water tap.
"What happened?"
she asked, concerned.
"I don't know what I was thinking. Boy, that hurts."
Michael had instinctively sprung forwards, completely forgetting his cover.
"Pops, are you okay?"
Val glared at him from the sink.
"Michael, have you been eavesdropping? Don't just stand there gawping. Grab a mop and help clear this up."
While Michael cleaned the mess up, his mother set a timer for Amal to run the cold tap over his hand. It lasted 10 minutes, 8 of which Amal spent insisting he was fine. Keeping a low profile, Michael made the most of his mother's distraction and avoided troublesome questions about his absences. Val was juggling Amal's injury, making dinner, and helping her 12-year-old daughter, who had appeared with a homework question. When the phone rang, she was brisk. "Yes," she said, snatching the cream handset from the wall. A weary cloud settled across her face.
"I understand. I'll be right there."
She hung up with a heavy sigh.
"I have to go. There's been an urgent incident, and they've assigned me to the case. I'm sorry, everyone. It can't wait. There's ointment in the bathroom cupboard. It will soothe the burn once the timer's up. Michael, see that everyone eats, then set up the guest room for your grandfather. Oh, and Michael, I meant to say, Hamish came by with his family this evening while you were out. I think he wanted to say goodbye. They seemed to be in a hurry. I didn't know they were moving out of town."
"Neither did I," replied Michael, aghast.
"Did they leave an address?" "I'm afraid not, honey. They seemed anxious. Look, I don't have time to go into it, but... I suggest you ask at school? I've got to fly.
Val gave Sophia an affectionate squeeze, then prized away the clingy child's arms and hurried out. Michael felt a lump in his throat as he watched her go. His mother hated work invading their evenings, but as sole breadwinner, and given her line of work, she had no choice. After a subdued dinner, Michael helped his grandfather up to the guest bedroom and massaged ointment into the old man's burned hands. They were red raw and starting to blister. How had he been so careless?
My own stupid fault, chuckled Amal, as if reading Michael's mind.
Michael could see through the brave face. Amal was shaken by the incident and exhausted. Michael dug out some of his dad's old pajamas and helped Amal to change. A chain caught his attention.
What's this? Said Michael, holding it to the light.
Amal strained his eyes downward to focus on the chain around his neck.
That, it was an anniversary gift from your grandmother. 40 years. It reminds me every day of the love she brought to my life. You know, we used to joke that...
No, interrupted Michael. I mean, what are those symbols on it?
A sense of dread was sweeping across him as he took in the unmistakable pattern.
It's my name, written in Eterna. It's the old language of our nation. Don't they teach you anything at schools these days?
Michael let the chain fall from his fingers. It jangled against his grandfather's collarbone.
Lighten up, kid. It was only a joke.
I should go. Good night, Granddad. I love you, said Michael.
Amal looked at him, baffled at Michael's meek tone.
Pancakes for breakfast, he called.
Michael hurried to his room, sealed the door, and drew the curtains. Pulling the glass sequela from his pocket, he shone it under his desk lamp. The symbols were unmistakable. It related to his grandfather. Michael sank onto his bed as guilt swelled within him. Whatever was coming was his fault, and his grandfather would be the one to pay.